Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring, boring, boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is
baseball. Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, instant reaction to the Garrett Crochet trade. Red Sox, White Sox. They get it done. Crochet is officially traded. We knew, all knew it was coming. We were just wondering who was going to be the team that traded for him. Well, it's the Red Sox, and predictably, the White Sox get a haul for him. You have Kyle Teal, catcher, Braden Montgomery, first-round pick, outfielder from last year's draft, Chase Mydroth, who everyone raves about when they watch him play, and Winkelmann Gonzalez, who is going to be a major league pitcher. So, what did the White Sox do? Why did they settle on this deal? You have to think that it was in large part because of Teal and Montgomery. Those are the two headliners in this. Much like when you go back to the Sale trade, when the Red Sox traded, made that deal with the White Sox way back when. Yes, Kopech and Yoan Moncada, they were the headliners in that deal. In this one, same sort of deal. You have Kyle Teal and Braden Montgomery. I think that right now, long way to go because neither one of them played in the major leagues. Teal might be ready for next year. Again, Montgomery just drafted last year, but a college kid, so not that far off. Mydroth, everybody said he's going to be a major leaguer. It looks more like Dustin Pedroia, but can play all over the place, has great, great bat-to-ball skills, great, great plate discipline. Everyone just loves watching this kid play. So you have this deal. So when you look at this compared to the Sale deal, the difference maybe is the third and fourth guys. The third and fourth guys, I think, are going to be major league players in Gonzalez and Mydroth. And then you have the guys that you are banking, they're going to be all-stars, and that would be Teal and Montgomery. So the Red Sox, from the Red Sox point of view, this is a no-brainer. This is a guy who is top of the rotation. Everyone knew he was top of the rotation. He's young. He's under control for a couple years. But now when you look at, are they going to be able to get the extension done, which is an enormous thing. And I got to imagine that those talks have already started in some fashion or been broached in some way, because you don't do this sort of deal without being pretty confident that you're going to be able to get an extension done, because you're not giving up that package of players just for the short term view of Garrett Crochet. But Garrett Crochet, what we want to do is we want to play my sit down that we had with Garrett Crochet early this year, at the end of last year. And he talked about, obviously, he talked about last year, the trade rumors and all of that. But I think more importantly for people, for Red Sox fans who are trying to get a hold of how far this guy has come, where he's come, how he's evolved, what he sees going forward, how he became a starting pitcher, all of that, then you're going to want to listen to the sit down, the conversation with Crochet. So that's what we're going to do now. We'll have plenty more to talk about with the Crochet deal, but wanted to give you the instant reaction, and that's exactly what he did. Here's Garrett Crochet, sit down we had with him at the very end of the regular season last season. There's no human being I'd rather be talking right now than Garrett Crochet. Fact. So we talked to the All-Star game, and I really enjoy talking with you. And that's just such a whirlwind, man. Like, it's the thing where you're probably like psyched to be there.
Yeah,
I would imagine you were psyched to be there.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Yeah, but it's a lot.
Overwhelming at times.
Is it?
Especially media day. Like, you know, I expect it to be, like, you know, pretty crazy. Obviously, I was, you know, in some different conversations at the time. So it was pretty action-packed, to say the
least. You have to sit there, in case people don't know, you have to sit there for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And people are, and the questions are, like, all over the place.
Yeah, right? Yeah. A lot of repetition. Nothing's off limits.
Well, this is because, for you, like, it's trade deadline stuff.
Right.
Like, I don't know, and I think I even asked, like, later, but in that time, trade deadline, and then someone will randomly come in with the, what's your favorite color? I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or I think we were asking, like, what if you have a middle seat in an airplane, do you have the right for both armrests?
That's a good question.
Yeah, but that's a stupid question.
Yeah.
Major leaguers don't have to do middle seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
That's a tough answer.
What do you got?
I'm definitely taking one of them. I'm probably going my left arm, left-handed. I'm probably taking the left.
You have to. The consensus is, well, you have a right to it because you have nothing else.
Yeah.
Right?
That's fair.
You don't have the window. You don't have the aisle. So anyway, congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
It's been fun watching you and seeing, like, your entire season. As we sit here, as it's landed, like, how does it feel compared to when you showed up to camp, like, how you thought it would feel? I mean, is that a stupid question? But that's not a good interviewer or a thing? Yeah. But is that a stupid question?
No, it's definitely more, it's been a very rewarding season.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I bet on myself early in spring when I had the conversation with Getz to kind of move into this role, not knowing how it was going to turn out. Maybe results-wise, but I had a good feeling that health-wise it would be the best move for my career, and that's been true so far. But health aside, looking at the results, it's been much more rewarding than I could have expected. You know, obviously everybody wants to hold themselves to an all-star caliber, but to have reached that this year, it was incredibly rewarding.
When you make that decision, you've probably talked about this before, but when you make that decision to say, okay, I'm going to do this, or I want to do this, I want to talk to Chris about this, take me through that. Like, because that's a big, like, I'm going to, okay,
yeah,
let's do it.
It was different because Chris was there with me at the alternate site. You know, when I first started relieving, he was, you know, he took me on my first tour of the city of Chicago. So, you know, I had a good relationship with him, one where I felt like I wouldn't be speaking out of turn to say something of that sort. But I don't really know how to say it other than just, like, to have the balls to, like, actually go down this path. You know, and I have a lot of thanks for him, you know, for actually believing in me and having the trust in me to fulfill this goal, because without that, you know, I suppose the innings limit, that posed a lot of questions prior to me even making the transition, and I'm sure a lot of GMs would have even scoffed at the idea of me, you know, going through the undertaking of a full season as a starter, having thrown, I don't know, in college I threw like a total of 130 innings, and in the major leagues I had thrown a total of like 80 innings, so it's like you add that together and it's 210 innings in my past 6 6 years, that's what Logan Webb's going to do this year. It's like that's kind of, you know, it's a big thing to expect of somebody. But you know, he had the faith and the trust in me, so here we are.
When did you do that first? When does the plan of maybe you're like, okay, I'm going to walk in and talk to him, and this is what I want to say. When did that sort of percolate? Like, was it as last year went along, or?
Yeah, well, we did it over the phone. So when he got hired, when the staff changed, I don't recall when that was, maybe right after the trade deadline, early August. Mm-hmm. I was in Charlotte at the time on a rehab assignment. And, you know, he had mentioned, he was like, at the end of the year, like, let's reconnect on this, wanting to hear my thoughts, which, you know, was incredibly important and meaningful to me that, you know, he actually wanted to take some of my input in. And then the season ended, and, you know, I was kind of just like waiting, and I was like, all right, I'm going to text him. So I finally texted him. I was like, hey, man, I'm pretty antsy thinking about it. And it was right before I actually started training for the offseason, right before ramping back up again. And you know, I brought it to him. And I had, you know, 4 years since being drafted, being told that I'd be a starter long term, but having yet to get the opportunity, you know, I had a lot of time to really sit and think about reasons why this was the right move for me. So I felt like, you know, I had a lot to offer in the conversation.
Well, it's good. Yeah. Like, you should have a lot to offer in the conversation, because you probably, like I said, I mean, you probably thought a lot about it.
Right.
And then you go into it. And so now, then after that, you form a plan.
Right.
And looking back, listen, the plan's worked, but looking back, like, it's not just, I'm going to be a starter, I'm going to do this.
Right.
Like, talk to me a little bit about that plan, like how that sort of, and looking back, if you would have tweaked anything at all.
For me, it almost was as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, the I suppose the focus in the offseason was a little bit different. It wasn't as strength-based as it was, you know, movement-based, and making sure that I had a good foundation to go into the season with. And, you know, I've been keeping up with all that stuff, and I think that ultimately allowed me to get to this point. It really wasn't anything beyond, I think that this is the right way to go about it, so this is how we're going to go about it. Like this is what I'm going to do day-to-day. This is how I'm going to take care of my body. And that's really as simple as it was.
That's it, really?
Yeah.
And when you got going, you're like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Really?
Through May and June, it was like, all right, now we don't look back.
Okay. And so when you get into the season, you said you get into May and June, like, but there must have been a gratification of not to say, hey, listen, I told you, not I told, I'm like,
right.
But like, this is, I'm going to do this. I can do this. I am doing this.
Yeah, I hit a rough patch, you know, pretty much the whole month of April. And I was doing a lot of reflecting on that conversation during that time. And a big part of me really wanted to prove Getz right, you know, for giving me the opportunity, having the belief in me. He named me opening day starter, you know, so clearly he had high hopes for me. And I'm saying a lot of me's, but it was like,
You.
Yeah, it was a lot. I suppose that.
But that is like that, when you say like you want to, like, that's, I think that's a great trait. Like, fact that you say, hey, listen, I want to justify your decision.
Right.
Because it's a leap of faith for everybody.
Right. And, that was kind of what helped me turn around, at least. Like, everyone always talks about having their why. Like, why do I, you know, play professional baseball? So then when you start to struggle, you have something to look deeper. And when I was talking to Luke Hochaver in college, you know, that was kind of always my why. There was a lot of people that didn't expect me to get to this point, you know, when I was in college, let alone get to the major leagues. And it's like, you know, I think that a lot of people doubted Getz when he made that move. A lot of people doubted that I could make the transition. So I kind of just used that as fuel.
I just talked to Andrew Benintendi about his college thing.
Yeah.
So he hit like 270 as a freshman. And then he takes off for the last few months heading into his draft eligible year.
Right.
For you, like, this is, you can draw on things like you said, challenges of college.
Right.
Right? I don't know if you have. Maybe I'm being like too idealistic about this, but I would imagine, like, because that's sort of the first time that you have to, okay, I'm going to a better competition. I have to prove 100%. Myself. I have to prove I'm this and prove I'm that. And you already done that. Like, that was the first time you did what you're doing this year.
Right. So what do you mean exactly?
No, I'm sorry. Again, I'm just ranting. My point is that you get to a place. I'm going to do this. I am going to be good in college. I am going to get drafted high. In this case, I am going to do this heading into the 2024 season. You put your mind to something and you do it.
Yeah. I think that, you know, going to college is very rewarding in that aspect. You know, obviously guys that get drafted first round out of high school are in a different spot than I was in, you know, talent-wise and probably mental strength-wise. There's a lot that comes with that, you know, that tier of player. However, I think that going to college is huge for just like that role of that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Inner development and growth.
Did you lean on anybody? Did you get advice from anybody heading this year into this year from other starters, from other veterans, like you said, Hoche? Anybody else that you talked to?
Really, just our staff. You know, whether it be, you know, players or coaching staff. Katz was really huge for me in that regard. Having done it, not entirely with Rodon, he had history of being a starter, but you know, going from a small innings limit to then just kind of being set free, you know, he had done it with him. I talked about it a lot with Fetty before the deadline, and you know, he was huge for me in that aspect of really just like developing a routine. I had done the starting routine in college, but it was a 7-day routine.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of critiquing that I had to do in that regard, and I actually trained with him in the off season, so I was able to really kind of go into spring training with something concrete.
So you're going through the year, you make the All-Star game again. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We can never say congratulations enough. But now it's like you have two different things that are like you're looking at after the All-Star game. It's trade deadline, and then it's like what this is going to look like at the end of the year.
Right.
Two very like sort of awkward things, right? Like you want to celebrate the season, but it's two different awkward things.
Right.
Like what was it? Was that hard? Like the first thing is the trade deadline stuff. Was that hard to get through that?
Yeah, it was tough, but I mean, it comes with the territory, I suppose. You know, of like being wanted by opposing clubs. So there was positive and negatives. Obviously, the negative being that, like, you know, the organization that drafted me and everything that I know, all my friends are here. You know, my wife's grown comfortable in Chicago. It's and that potentially fading away. But also knowing that you're wanted by someone else is, you know, that's the pro in the scenario, I suppose. But then at the end of the day, to be here, I think it was the right everything happened for a reason, I think, during the trade deadline. You know, I moved on from it now, and obviously the offseason will be a different challenge when it comes. But, you know, until then, I'm just going to keep going start to start.
You probably asked this. Were you surprised, like, on August 1st, if you were still
Whiteside? No, not surprised. I knew that there were a lot of moving pieces with the innings limit moving forward. Really not having done this before, and then with my age, I felt like the White Sox, you know, were probably asking for a lot, and rightfully so. That makes me feel pretty good.
So I
wasn't really surprised.
And then you get into, like you say, like innings limit, and we just talked to Grady Sizemore about, he's like, you're making every start,
right?
But you're making every start, but you know, that's a weird dynamic,
right?
So I'm going to accentuate the positive. You're making every start.
Right. And that's been, you know, my conversations with the staff. That's been kind of the overwhelming thing that everyone kind of has to say is making every start, I think, is the most important thing. Getting through the end of the year, being a true starter, continuing on the five-day routine, I think that's the most important thing here.
Is it, as you sit here, are you excited for what awaits? I mean,
honestly, yeah, definitely.
Because, well, again, a year ago, there's unknowns. There's excitement, but there's a lot of unknowns.
Right. I try not to think too much about next year, but it definitely will feel good to be set free. But at the same time, you know, that was how I felt this year. Up until the All-Star break, I felt like, you know, every fifth day I was doing everything that I could, doing everything that other starters in the league were doing. It was just a matter of knowing, I suppose, that it was going to tamper down at some point. But, yeah.
You feel good, though?
Yeah, feeling good.
You feel like the great game of baseball.
Right? Yeah. Arm health's been great. Velocity's been better than ever, so it's all I could ask for.
And so let me ask you this. So this is how I like to conclude a lot of these things. There's no wrong answers. Why, for you, isn't baseball boring?
I feel like every time that you go to a game, you see something new. For me, I like the individual aspect of it. Like nobody has the same pitching arsenal. Nobody has the same batting stance. You and I could throw the same pitch, but different results happen. I love that aspect of it. Is that you can't determine the outcome. The best team doesn't always win, sort of thing. I just like that. Yeah, that's probably my answer. I realize I just gave you like three or four different things.
But you know what? They were all nails.
Yeah.
They're all good.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like that's why I love asking this question, because there were so many different answers. It's sort of like when we talk about when you first went to a baseball game, a major league game. When was that? Like
my debut. I never went to one as a kid. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Should I know this? This
is like, no. It's not.
It's not common knowledge.
You ever revealed that? Anybody that? Yeah.
First ever. Is that true?
Or I suppose my first ever. I got there in the seventh inning. I don't remember if we were playing the Twins or the Guardians. I was on the taxi squad, so I came up from the alternate side to Chicago, got there in the seventh inning, flew to Cincinnati, and made my...
That doesn't count.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, so I haven't been counting
that one. So that was the first time you walked into a major league ballpark.
Yep.
So usually I say, like, what's your impressions when you walk into a major league ballpark? And you're like, oh, well, when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know, like, I walk in here, like, honestly, we're talking at Fenway Park, and I'm like, the green, I remember, like, the green is never greener, the white's never whiter and everything. But you're probably, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it was a little different. Nobody was there.
Oh, is that
so
true?
It was 2020. It was COVID, so nobody, there were no fans. So it was a little different. It was like, yeah, the stadium felt really big, but no fans made it feel, you know, pretty normal, I suppose.
Yeah. So when was it? When did it didn't feel normal? What was the game that you feel like this feels different? Because again, we're wiping out 2020.
Right.
From memory.
It was really probably the crosstown matchup at Wrigley in 21.
Okay.
You know, the bullpens. Is it chain link now? Yeah, it's chain link now. We went there this year. The visiting one's chain link, but it used to just be a glass wall.
Yeah.
So you go in there, and by the time that you come out, you know, it's real lively, but you can't hear any of it when you're in the pen. So I came out in extra innings, I want to say, on game 2 in 21. And the place was just erupting.
And that just hit different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's good. Like, yeah. That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, man.
Hey, y'all. It's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.